Father, thank you for your word, and we just pray that it'll sink down deep into our hearts, that we'll understand how it applies to each of us, and that we will just let it apply, that we will just give it application so it fully brings that healing balm that you want it to bring to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 13, and I'm going to go to verse 15 and just read two verses there. So how many of you are there? Say amen. 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 About two people. All right. Maybe they just didn't say amen. So it says in verse 15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Everybody say, share. All right. When you hear the words, share with others, if you're anything like me, you think of stuff that, well, has to do with stuff. You know, I got some stuff, and I share my stuff with other people who have stuff, and we share back and forth. That's the way I usually think. But I have this question. When you hear share with others, is the first thing that comes to your mind relationship? Probably not, because we tend to not see the word share in that context in most of what we do in the world. But this share is an interesting word, and I think probably it would be possible to translate it this way. And do not forget to do good and hang out with others. Isn't that weird when you hear it read that way? Don't forget to do good and hang out with other people. I'm like, well, I like hanging out with other people. I was studying the word koinonia, and I was looking at all the places where the word koinonia, a Greek word, showed up in the New Testament. And I found it fascinating that this reference, koinonia, which, by the way, is used several times of the word that we translate communion. You know how we take communion every Sunday? Yeah, this is the word for communion. So it's like, what is the Hebrew writer getting at? And by the way, there was a guy who wrote Hebrews, and some people think it was Paul, and some people think it was somebody else, and sometimes they just refer to the writer of Hebrews as the Hebrew writer. So I will do so also. But koinonia is the word mostly used for fellowship in the New Testament. So when I'm looking at this Hebrews verse, and I see, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, it's translated other places, fellowship. It really isn't translated hang out as I read it a minute ago. But to do good and to fellowship with others, that is a twist on that that you might not have thought of when you actually just are reading that verse as you're just reading the scripture because of the way it's translated. Yes. Somebody's having a good time out there. When we fellowship, though, think of it this way. When we fellowship, we are sharing, aren't we? We're sharing of our lives. We're sharing of our time. And a lot of times as we share of our lives and share of our time, we start to share of our love. We connect. We begin to do something more. So, you know, I've read this verse for many years, and every time I read it, I just thought of stuff, quite honestly, just stuff. And I thought of specifically maybe the word possessions would be good, because there are places in the scripture where it says share your possessions, right, with each other. But in this case, I'm not saying that he's saying don't share your possessions, and that's not what he's saying, but he is saying something more than sharing of the goods that we have. So it's more about connection. Because you can share stuff with people and never connect to them. In fact, sometimes we'd rather. Sometimes we would rather just give some money to that person and send them on their way, when what they might need more than money is our time and attention. In fact, giving them money might be the exact wrong thing to do. And while it's important that we give tangibly, some needy have a greater need than more stuff. Have you ever heard, give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day, and teach a man to fish and he'll eat for a lifetime? Sometimes that connection where something more can happen is a much bigger deal than us maybe feeling good about ourselves and just sliding a couple bucks to somebody. And in reality, this might help some of you. Sometimes we don't have more stuff to give, right? Has there ever been a moment in your life where you kind of wanted to give and maybe the preacher was taking up an offering? Ha! Come on, fill it up. You know, and you had this feeling of, I'd like to give, but you just really didn't have it to give. And, you know, I've had a lot of people over the years that I've been a pastor say, oh, I wish I could give. I wish I could give more. I wish I could do more to give. Hey, maybe you don't have the green things to give, or you don't have it on a card and in a bank account where you can, you know, make it happen. But you have a lot to give. You really do. By the way, our government has proven, hasn't it? Have you noticed that our government has proven that if you throw money at things, that doesn't always fix it? What? There I go, getting political again. Yes. Yeah, and by the way, that's not really political for one party more than the other, because both parties stink at that. Let's just throw some money at it and it'll be all right. So, what if we could learn to do relationship better? That'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? I think it would. And if we learn to do relationship better, then we'll do more for the kingdom. But first, we might have to practice. How many of you think there's some truth into the idea of sometimes you get better at something if you practice? Okay. And by the way, it's a little dangerous to get really good at practicing with the same people every week, but still, every week you have a chance to practice with people. It's called church. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I know for a fact that there are a few irritating people in here that you can really get a lot of good work out when it comes to relationship with. Why did you all look the same direction? No, just kidding. You were all looking here, so that's good. And if you think I'm talking about you, get over it. You've got a complex that you... we do sozo ministry here. We'll help you if you think we're talking about you. No, I'm just being silly. And by the way, there are times when I'm pretty sure that I can be the most irritating person in the room. Like that time when I you know, make you think that the sermon's almost over and then I preach another half an hour. Don't you just love it when I do that? I love it too. The look on your faces is awesome. But do you have people to hang out with? Do you have people that you regularly hang out with? When we think of hanging out, do we think of fun? Yeah. We think of fun and we think of joy and we think of good times. Again, this fellowship idea, this koinonia idea is supposed to be a really wonderful thing. But let me ask you this. Do you ever think of being with your friends as a sacrifice? Because it says in that first verse, let me read it again, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, to fellowship with others, to hang out with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Oops. Huh. Sometimes it is a sacrifice to hang out with people. Sometimes you'd rather be alone. Now, I have to admit, this is probably one of the hardest messages for me to preach and maybe communicate well, because I am not a happy alone person. I like being with other people. By the way, I heard the other day about this little girl, and she looked at her daddy and she says, "Daddy, where does poo come from?" And he didn't know what to say, so he tried to explain, you know, the biology of all that and everything. She just kind of looked at him, wrinkled her nose a little bit, and said, "Okay, where does Tigger come from?" At least one person laughed. I'm a lot like Tigger. I'm bouncing around. I like being with people. I have a good time. I don't need a lot of alone time. But when I do get alone time, I'm pretty happy with my alone time too. I'm just, you know, woohoo. And then there are some people, they're more like Eeyore in the Winnie the Pooh series. You know, they just, if they're with a group of people, it's And if they're by themselves, it's And I'm just not like that. So in a way, it's not as hard for me, perhaps, to make being with, or not as hard for me to be with people. And because it's not hard for me to be with people, it's not a sacrifice. Does that make sense? Like, it's just not a sacrifice for me. I like it. I enjoy it. I want to do it. And for some people, they like to be by themselves. And being with other people is a bigger sacrifice for them. But there are times when it's a sacrifice for all of us. Hardly a week goes by in this church when I don't hear someone say, "What are we doing for lunch?" And then usually some kind of discussion breaks out, and we try to figure out where we might want to go to eat or what we want to do. And then we look around and try to remember to ask people, but there's some of us who just do it so regularly, we don't think to ask people, so sorry. So here's your official invite. We're going out to lunch afterwards today. Come hang out with us. You are welcome. There's a group in the back, by the way, that will be hanging out afterwards for lunch. And you're allowed to invade them whether they like it or not. I just gave you permission. But, you know, it's nice if you bring some food, because otherwise, if everybody decided to go back to the back afterwards today, well, I don't know. They might just break the bread and, you know, the fish, and it might spread. Could happen. Somehow every week, though, we have to make a decision for some of us who like to go out and get something to eat. And when we make that decision, it'll sometimes be a place that somebody doesn't want to go. Where do you want to go this week? What do you want to eat this week? I'm not in the mood for that. I just ate that yesterday. You know. And then a lot of times I'm not hard to please. Again, I'm Tigger. You know, I can go anywhere and find food usually and be happy, and, you know, I'm in a good mood about it. But sometimes there are times when it can be physically tiring to get up here and do what I do. And maybe I would like a longer nap that day because I didn't get to bed early the night before, or maybe there's a game on. You know, there's this game on. It's going to be on TV, and I don't want to miss any of the game. And then I have a decision to make at that point. We have a decision to make at those points. Did you know, by the way, that part of the strategy for church growth found in the book of Acts was the idea of breaking bread together? Yeah. They went from house to house. Well, you know, Jerusalem didn't have very many McDonald's in those days. They didn't have restaurants like we do today. But if you look in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and 46, you'll see that they talked about breaking bread, and part of that was oftentimes connected to koinonia. By the way, a lot of the breaking of bread that they did, when they broke it, they remembered, because they almost always had bread and wine with every meal. And remember that when Jesus instituted communion, there we go. When Jesus instituted communion that we do today, he didn't start out with wafers and little glasses of grape juice. It was during a meal where they were in relationship. So often when we sat down together, we could even do that in our homes or do that wherever we're at. and remember. And sometimes just taking a moment and saying, thank you, Lord, I remember. And eating your Big Mac is a good thing. And as a result of them doing it every day in the book of Acts, it says the Lord added daily to his church. Isn't that an interesting idea? See, sometimes we want to go out and we want to get people to know all the stuff we know, and then we, you know, do what we have to do and process them, and then they can be part of our church. But what if they found themselves just getting caught up in the flow of people that were part of our church, and then all of a sudden they started learning from being in that flow of people, and then all of a sudden they wanted to know what it is that we really believed because they were just hanging out with us, and they found out that they could sit down with us and break some bread and fellowship and talk and just feel connected. So something as simple as hanging out could be a factor in growing God's church. Now again, let me remind you that this could be a sacrifice, but it's a sacrifice that he is pleased with. In other words, sometimes we think it's no big deal if we don't hang out with other people. Sometimes we'd rather just not hang out with other people. Sometimes there's other people we'd just rather not hang out with. But the question is, are we wanting to please God? Relationship is one of the most important things that Christians can do for the sake of the kingdom. And I think it's no accident that we find this important verse written in the letter to the Hebrews, who were scattered abroad, as the writer said. He wrote to these Hebrews, and they were scattered abroad around the world. And so I think he wrote to them because they had these opportunities, because they were everywhere, finding themselves in the fabric of society. I think it's also important that he wrote to the Hebrews because the Hebrews were the people who knew of the old covenant. They knew of the sacrifices. They knew what sacrifice looked like. So their working understanding of the covenants gave them a little bit of a perspective that maybe we don't normally have. Because you see, under the law, there were lots of sacrifices that you had to do every year. I mean, you just had to go regularly to do sacrifices. But interestingly enough, there were other sacrifices that you didn't have to do, but that you got to do. Really interesting. Sacrifices you didn't have to do, but you got to do. And those sacrifices were just because they wanted to show God that they loved him. They were called offerings. They were not obligations. In Leviticus chapter 7, we read this. These are the regulations for the fellowship offerings anyone may present to the Lord. And then it goes on. I'm not going to read it for time's sake this morning, but it goes on to talk about these offerings there in Leviticus 7, verses 11 through 15. And it talks about them being a contribution, but what was really interesting is here, these sacrifices, when they give them, guess what happens? They stay for the sacrifice, and then they eat of that sacrifice. So it was more than just, here's the offering, and walk away. It's, here it is, and now I'm going to participate with God and the leadership, the priesthood, and they would sit down and they would have a meal together. I'm preaching this morning because I want you to invite me to more meals at your house. No, just kidding. Really not. It's also interesting that in that passage it talks about a sacrifice that includes unleavened bread, but then it also talks about leavened bread. And in these sacrifices that they would give, where they stayed and they ate, they would eat unleavened bread together. The difference being, they would eat leavened bread together. Unleavened bread was the sacrifice or the thing that they ate when they were getting ready to take off. They were in a hurry. They ate unleavened bread when the Passover was coming, and as soon as the angel passed over, they needed to be ready to leave. Leavened bread takes longer to make. So the reason they made unleavened bread for the Passover was because they were getting ready to leave. But leavened bread is the bread of fellowship and the fellowship offering. Interesting, huh? And so these Hebrews would have understood this. They would have got the word. The truth that we need to understand and experience in fellowship is that in that, we can give a sacrifice that also blesses us. When we practice the sacrifice of fellowship, there is so much to receive that we might otherwise miss out on. Let me say that again. Everybody look up here. When you miss the fellowship aspect and you don't sacrifice time to do that, you miss something that God has for you. Sometimes on Sunday we go to a restaurant with somebody. And actually, next Sunday there is a couple coming from Auburn, Indiana, who we have been in relationships since the mid-80s, and they want to come and visit the church next Sunday, and they want to spend some time with Lisa and I. I'm looking forward to that fellowship so much. It's a big deal. And while I can still have a great time going almost anywhere, sometimes it's not where I went, but who I was with and the way we connect that's the most important. And sometimes, as I said, I end up sacrificing a little bit of my time, my day, my activities, something I wanted to do. I might have this little project that I want to finish in a house that I've been renovating for over a year. And I'm thinking, oh, I have a little time right here. And then the phone rings. And someone says, hey, you got time to do such and such and so. And I'm like, yay, because I'm Tigger. But my wife's like, hey, I thought you were going to finish that for me. And she's right sometimes. I need to keep my word and finish things. But sometimes fellowship's a big deal. Sometimes when I give that sacrifice, I end up having a better time than I would have had doing whatever it was I thought I was going to need to do. Even if it was something fun like watching a football game that I really was looking forward to. Can you turn Ohio State off? Easy for the Notre Dame fan. Just to spend some time with someone and miss the game. I'm saying to the Ohio State fans, because I are one. Sometimes there's a greater harvest for us in the fellowship than in the thing we thought we couldn't miss. Does that make sense? Yeah. The Hebrew writer strengthened this idea of connection and included the leaders in it by adding one more verse, 13:17, which is after the verses that I just read. Let me read that to you. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who much give an account. Do this so that their work may be a joy and not a burden, for that would not be a benefit to you. Interesting that that verse comes right on the heels of making a sacrifice of fellowship. Usually when someone's writing, and I'm a writer, you don't just change subjects that quick. Like, oh, now for a completely different subject. Now this is connected. And the idea is to connect together so that you have a relationship with not just me, elders of the church, people who are doing, you know, maybe you take a Sunday school teacher out for lunch and say thank you for taking care of those kids, because it's a big deal. Aren't you glad we have people who take care of the kids in the back during Sunday morning worship and praise and all the stuff we do? It's good. I want to have more of this koinonia in our church. I want to make us even more of a family than we already are. And this is a pretty good family church. But I want us to practice koinonia on each other so that we can do a better job of practicing koinonia on people outside of our church. See, if we really get good with hanging out with each other, then we can look at somebody who maybe is new or somebody who we know that doesn't even go to church anywhere and say, you should hang out with us. Some of you are really good at Euchre Koinonia. Well, it might be a way of just helping somebody who doesn't know how to connect. They're just hanging out, playing a little euchre, and all of a sudden they are with other people who have this fresh breath of God on their lives, and they want to be part of what's going on. They want to see more of that. There are people out there who name the name of Christ who are kind of disconnected from relationship with real believers. And I think if we are disconnected from our relationship with other believers, we don't have family, we have dysfunctional family. And some of you have come from dysfunctional families, right? How much fun was that? So again, another reason for us to practice real family, real connection, real relationship. Because people who, to me, in my thinking, when you're disconnected from the family of God, you become those targets that the enemy is looking for. Remember, there's this devil who's out there who's a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And the words may, because he has to have permission, and we have to make it easy for him. And Paul speaks of people in 2 Timothy 3:7. He says, they are always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I heard one person say that the Christian church is educated beyond its ability to do the things it's educated about. Think of it that way. So this opportunity to hang out with people, even people that maybe you don't feel an immediate connection for, sometimes those are the ones who, when you begin to do that, it begins to help you build your ability to connect so that you can connect with more and more people. And if you can connect with people here, then it's easier to connect with people outside of here because you've practiced it. I'm going to need a little drink of water. I'm going to cough. Excuse me. Tickle. God wants us to come to the knowledge of the truth. But interestingly, the word knowledge here is the idea of intimate knowledge. It was used by some Greek-speaking people to refer to the intimacy between a husband and a wife. That's pretty intimate. The outside of loving relationships, outside of relationships where we can say, into me you see, intimacy, outside of those kind of relationships, our churches can become easily very methodological, very legalistic, like little organizations that just do stuff. You know, there are churches that appear to be successful because they get a lot of stuff done, but there's no life inside of them. People just come in, figure out what the organization wants them to do. They do their thing, and then they forget about it until they have to come back another time to do the next thing they have to do. I don't want to be that. God, I think, wants to move his church, his whole church, from organization to organism. You know the difference between organization and organism, right? Well, let's just picture this in our mind. It's amazing. I watch the robotics that are going on in these days, and I saw a thing a while back where somebody created a little robot dog. And I think that a robot dog would be, well, advantageous in some ways. We had a dog that was 17 years old that we had to put down not too long ago. And I still go to the door of the back of the house, you know, and start to open up the door and look for the dog. They become part of your lives. I don't think that would ever happen with a robot dog. Because a robot dog, I would be like, where's the remote control? Shut up. You know, organisms are much more complex than organization. So you got the picture. A real dog can be messy. A robot dog will only make a mess if you program it to and plan for when you want it to make the mess. Oh, it's 3:30. Time for the dog poop. Where's he at? Yeah, oil change. You know, real puppies are work. My son bought a puppy. And the puppy's like, the back on the puppy is this high. He's a golden doodle. And he's killing them. He's killing them because, we've had small dogs before, and, you can just pick them up and shove them in a cage or something. This one you have to chase down, tackle it, wrestle with it, you know. We go to visit, and that dog loves me and Lisa. And yesterday, Lisa's mother. And just her day before yesterday. And that dog, rah, 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 you know, and a little dog just, the big dog, rah, 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 rah. Like, stop it already. So, sacrificial relationship will mean that we will have to intentionally give of our lives, connecting in real koinonia with other people. And we start right here in the church. As we are approaching nicer weather now. How many of you are glad that it's been a little bit warmer? Yeah, it has been. It might be a good season for us to get just a little more intentional about this sacrifice that is pleasing to the Lord. So like we were passing a thing around. We're going to have a fellowship meal coming up soon. There are small groups that you can kind of connect to, or maybe you could even start one. Betty started another one. She started a couple now. Yeah, it really is. That's cool. And it'll be fun to connect. And it might require you, changing your schedule a little bit to connect. It might require you to, but what would make God happy? Do you want to see him smile? See, I sense God smiles so often when I do something that, Let me give a most recent example, not in my notes. Last night, there was a wonderful play down at the Schrady Center. And Carson was in it, and Lisa and I had intended to go, but then the way things worked out, it was like, she needed to ice her eyes and do some stuff. You know, the first 2 days, she's supposed to ice every 20 minutes out of every hour. So she was trying to do all that, and I said, well, I'll go. But the truth was, I wanted to see the play, and I wanted to see Carson, but it's been a busy week, and I could have just, So it's a little bit of a sacrifice. Like, I had to want to do it. I had to kind of find my wanter and go, you ought to go. We do that with family. We do that with friends, don't we? We kind of just, I want to be there. I don't want to not be there. It's almost I don't want to not be there more than I really want to be there. Does that make sense? And then I went. Of all the plays that Carson's been in, and he didn't have the biggest part in this one, but his part was funny. And it really, everybody's part was fun. It was really, really fun. Like, it made me laugh. It was about misfit nursery tale characters, whatever you call them. Fairy tale. There we go. Misfit fairy tales. It was really fun. I really had a good time. And I'm glad I went. But I could have just been like, I'm just going to sit here at home. I could have made it real spiritual. Oh, let's watch The Chosen. Okay. Hallelujah. Let's stay at home and be a Christian. Come on. There are too many Christians who are avoiding fellowship to their own detriment and the detriment of the kingdom of God. And I get scared for them sometimes. Because God wants you to be connected. And I believe that's a big deal. And I think it's really easy to be a Facebook Christian. You can post anything you want. Makes you sound holy and everything. But you really find out how holy you are when you have to put up with people like me. Let's see how holy you really are then. And it becomes a sacrifice. So intentional koinonia is an important thing. A sacrifice of fellowship. And if you're more religious than relational, that might be harder for you. I'm sorry. Well, it's easy for you, Pastor. Well, maybe it is. I don't know why. Maybe it's easier for me because when I first got saved, I just hung out with Jesus people all the time and found out that I loved it. So, one last thing that I'll remind you about sacrifices. It says in the scripture that fire always falls on a sacrifice. Put your hand on your heart. We do this a lot, Lord, where we put our hand on our heart, but I pray that a fire will get lit inside of all of us. A fire of fellowship, a fire of koinonia, a fire of wanting to be part of other people's lives, and that we'll practice this until it becomes so natural, so normal, that everywhere we go, we just find ourselves drawing men unto you and connecting to people for your kingdom's sake. We thank you for these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.